Tara. Oh yeah, sorry. I'll read this to myself. Tara eka pala padi yadinasti aya tadapi vrikshanahi janeniya nijapachaya. This is, by the way, is the pastime with Sarvabhum Bhattacharya when he offers prasad to the Lord. And his son-in-law was very naughty. Amoga, I think it was Amoga, his name. He would criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating too much. He would sneak in the room and he would say, why this person is eating too much? But he couldn't understand that that person is God and he should be eating anything he wants. And Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya used to chase him with a stick out of the room. And you all know the pastime. And then he encountered cholera. He was on his deathbed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he's God in the heart of everyone. He could see that he was suffering and dying. And he went there, he said, just chant Hare Krishna, get up, chant Hare Krishna, you'll feel better. And it's not loud enough? Is it loud enough? Yeah. So, and the Lord, he resuscitated this offender, Pashanti, and he achieved the love of Godhead. So you can see, Krishna, he reward the failure. Anyone who is a critical person, but somehow or another is associated with devotees, he's very fortunate. Somehow or another he will get the mercy. But first there is a, you know, you have to go, first you have to go into a, through a washing machine. You have to go in the washing machine to clean up the consciousness with some suffering. Suffering is like that. Pain comes, it's another form of love from Krishna towards us. When we suffer as a devotee, we shouldn't think, oh, I don't deserve it. The suffering comes as a purification, and the devotees, Prabhupada in the ninth canto, he says that devotees who understand this phenomena, they embrace suffering. They embrace the disease. People usually they have a cholera or cancer, or my sister has got a cancer now. She's younger than me. Feel very sorry for her. She doesn't understand why she's a good person according to her. And but you know the karma, they're like that. They reject it. They push it away. Nobody wants suffering. Old age, disease, birth, and death. It's all right, let him. It's fine. Amoga, he was a very critical of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can you imagine criticizing God for eating what belongs to him? Prasad. And but then Krishna rewarded him. Lord Chaitanya gave him the holy name and he became pure devotee. So it's not a small thing to be in the association of devotees. Any one of you who encounter some calamity, but because you are associating with devotees or chanting Hare Krishna, you know, some good fortune will come to you. So it's not all bad. It's not all bad. You know, I've come to, for 25 years I've been diabetic. And I've surrendered, you know, that's my karma, that's some purification. We have to accept everything as prasadam. Yes? You all agree. Right, so this series of verses, they don't have any purport, but I'll do the text 179. The Udumba tree is filled with millions of fruits, and if one falls down and is destroyed, the tree does not even consider the loss. In the same way, I'm going to escape, you know, the Sanskrit. Otherwise, I don't want you to get bored. In the same way, if one universe is vacated due to the living entities having been liberated, that is a very little thing for Krishna. He does not take it very seriously. Next. Verse 175, the entire spiritual world constitutes the unlimited opulence of Krishna, and there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets there. The causal ocean is considered the surrounding waters of Vaikuntha. Text 176, Maya and her unlimited material universes are situated in that causal ocean. Indeed, Maya appears to be floating like a pot filled with mustard seeds. 177. Of the millions of mustard seeds floating in that pot, if one seed is lost, the loss is not at all significant. Similarly, if one universe is lost, it is not significant to Krishna. Yeah, you know, when you cook mustard seeds, you know, they spill from your spoon instead of going everything in the pot. So you don't mind, isn't it? Go on the floor, you sweep it away, and you still carry on cooking. So it's not a great loss. These are the universes. Universes, actually, according to the Vibhu, the greatness of God, we are Anu, we cannot understand. They are like mustard seeds. So, if universes, they are destroyed, created, that doesn't really matter to the Creator, to Krishna. 178. To say nothing of one universal mustard seed, even if all the universes and the material energy Maya are destroyed, Krishna does not even consider the loss. Here we come, the verse with the purport. Let's see what Prabhupada is hiding in this beautiful purport. 179. Should we do this one together, or should I just read the verse and the purport? You decide. You want to do it together? Sure? Okay, we'll do that. Koti kama denu patira. When you see the little, what do you call it, underscore? iPhone between words. You should never separate, I was told by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So it's one word. Chagi Yache Mare Sadaishvarya Pati Krishnera Maya Kiba Kare We'll go to word by word. Koti of 1 million. Sorry, of millions. Kamadenu of desired cows. Patira of the master. Chagi, one she got. Yache, as. Mare, dies. Sattaishvarya Pati, the master of six opulences. Krishnera of Krishna. Maya, external energy. Kiba, what? Kare, can do. Sorry, could I have another cushion like this, please? Sorry, thank you very much. Good man. That's better. Translation. If a person possessing millions, this is actually Lord Chaitanya speaking to the Lord, Lord Jagannath. This is Lord Chaitanya, yeah? Speaking, yeah. If a person possessing millions of wish-fulfilling cows loses one she-goat, he does not consider the loss. Krishna owns all six opulences in full. If the entire material energy is destroyed, what does he lose? Please repeat after me. If a person possessing millions of wish-fulfilling cows loses one she-goat, he does not consider the loss. Krishna owns all six opulences in full. If the entire material energy is destroyed, what does he lose? Purport. Sometimes it's difficult to understand. So, with the help of Srila Prabhupada, we get some light. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is clarifying verses 171-179, states that the meaning of these stanzas is very simple, but that purport is a little difficult to understand. That's what I was saying. Generally, the conditioned souls forget Krishna when they are enticed by the material energy, external energy. Consequently, they're called Krishna Bhairmukha, bereft of their relationship with Krishna. When such a living entity comes under the jurisdiction of the material energy, is sent into one of the innumerable material universes created by the material energy to give a chance to the conditioned souls to fulfill their desires in the material world. Being very eager to enjoy the fruits of their activities, conditioned souls become involved in the actions and reactions of material life. Consequently, they enjoy and suffer the results of karma. However, if a conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious, the karma of his pious and impious activities is completely destroyed. Simply by becoming a devotee, one is freed of all the reactions of karma. Similarly, simply by the desire of a devotee, a conditioned soul can attain liberation and transcend the results of karma. Since everyone can be liberated in this way, one may conclude that it is according to the sweet will of the devotee whether the material world exists or does not exist. Ultimately, however, it is the sweet will of the devotee, it is not the sweet will of the devotee, but the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, if he so desires, can completely annihilate the material creation. There is no loss on his part. The owner of millions of cows does not consider the loss of one she-goat. Similarly, Lord Krishna is the proprietor of both material and spiritual universes. The material world constitutes only 1/4 of his creative energy. If according to the desire of the devotees, the Lord completely destroys the creation, he is so opulent that he will not mind the loss. Om jnana tamirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur militam jena tasmai sri gurave namah sri chaitanna manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadandikam jai shri krishna chaitanna prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate gire yat kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam by the mercy of my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, a lame man can cross mountains, a blind man can see stars in the sky, and a dumb man like me can speak few words today on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Shrimati Tama Krishna Goswamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunavadi Paskada Desatarine Vancha Kalpa Dhruvascha Kripa Sindhubya Ivacha Paditanam Pavane Vyo Vashnavi Vyo Namonama. Okay. Sorry, on those prayers I don't speak loud. It's my own prayer to my Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and invoking mercy. But for the class, I speak louder. Hare Krishna. So, we read the verse again. If a person possessing millions of wish-fulfilling cows loses one she-goat, he does not consider the loss. Krishna owns all six opulences in full. If the entire material energy is destroyed, what does he lose? So it's interesting here that Krishna, Om Purnam, as we know, that is fully complete and fully satisfied, Atmarama. It does not need anything externally or internally to become complete in its godhood position. Can you hear it okay like this? So it's, yeah. And eternally he's like that, the Lord. He's for Krishna, one minus one, it's one. It's a mathematic that we cannot understand. Or it could be 1 minus 1, 100 or 1,000. Is that okay? It goes down. Yeah, just like this. It's good. Thank you. Good man. Thank you. So, but for us, 1 minus 1, it's 0. It's a loss. If you have 100 pounds and you lose 99 pounds or $100, if you lose $99, then you're left with $1. Correct? Yes or no? It's correct, isn't it? But for Krishna, there is no loss. It's a phenomena that just like, for example, the cow. Prabhupada gives this example in the Bhagavatam. The cows, when they give milk, it's a little bit like the phenomena of the Lord. You know, when he gives something, instead of losing, he generates more. When the cow gives milk, the milk bag generates more milk. How do we understand that? It's difficult to understand. There's a lot of mystical things, you know, going on into the body of the cow. The cow contains the embodiment of 33 million demigods and the consciousness of God, Govinda. Eat green grass and produce white milk. Can you transfer in a laboratory green color into white? Prabhupada, you know, he gives those examples. It baffles the scientist. There is some kind of acid energy into the body of the cow that we cannot understand. Eating green grass and produce white milk. And giving milk, a little bit of milk, and then generates more. The milk bag generates more. Prabhupada uses that example even with knowledge. If you're Brahman, he has knowledge and he doesn't share it, then it will dry up and he's a loss. He will lose it. Talking about loss, yeah. But if you have a knowledge and you give it out to people, then, like the milk bag, that knowledge, you generate more and more. Then whatever knowledge you give out becomes vigyan. You realize it, and it will stay embedded in your system, in your consciousness, in your heart. Srila Prabhupada was the acharya, very knowledgeable, because they kept giving. When you give, you gain, you don't lose. There is a say, it's not what you have in this world that goes with you when you die. Wealth, health, opulence, knowledge, whatever it is. But it's what you give. It's what you give stays with you. And this is the phenomenon that it's going on in everyone's life. That's why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the purport, Prabhupada quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the living entities are wandering birth after birth in different types of universes to fulfill their desires. Let's put it, yeah, without that, yeah, that's it. To fulfill the desires that they have in their heart. And by doing so, they become entangled into, reactions, and they could be good and bad. And they can entangle the living entities into the three modes, and they become nitya bandha, you know, eternally bonded, chained up in this material world, just to fulfill few desires, is a trap. This is the secret. And then the acharya, they give the example, as is described in the purport, that to become free from this chain of powerful chain, matunahagara, for example, is the most powerful bondage that keeps everyone in this world, is the sex desire, matunahagara, which is the perverted desire of Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras is love, pure love for Krishna, but then the reflection, the distorted reflection, it's the matunahagara. And to become free from that, one has to, the only key, the only secret to unleash ourselves, it's the devotional service. Devotional service is like Rupa Goswami describes as the cooked seed. The cooked seed, when you plant it, doesn't produce any vegetables or any fruit, nothing. So the cooked seed of devotional service also does not produce any reaction. This is the secret. A counteracts any types of karma, doesn't produce any karma, devotional service, but only liberation. First symptoms is satisfaction, liberation, and then, you know, ultimately steadiness, bhava, and then prema, love of God. So this is the power of this activity. It appears to be ordinary activity, but it's just like what we're doing today, Shravanam Kirtanam. It begins with, you know, like I'm chanting the glories of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shishirada Gokulananda Kija. And you are hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. So this is, we are activating the cooked seed of devotional service. And in this way, there is no fear of karma. There is no reaction. There is no loss. This Nabhikramana Susti Pratyavayona Vidyate Svalpa Mapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bayat. Correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Trayate Maya. This is the famous verse of the Gita. By engaging in this devotional service, one becomes liberated. And there is no loss, na bikrama, na sosti, bikrama. The word bikrama is also in this verse, yeah. That there is no loss or diminution. We keep losing things in this world. We lose a reputation, we lose health, we lose youth. And dragged away by the material desires, we lose... Srila Prabhupada says, you know, that we have a tendency, when people, they lose energy, they lose unnecessary semen, they're losing intelligence and consciousness through sensual activities. So we are all, in one sense, losers in this world. We are losers if we hang on to the material environment. But there is no loss if we hang on to the spiritual energy of the Lord, spiritual environment. So the secret is to actually surrender to Krishna, even though we are bound up in this world, surrounded by the chain of desires, the chain of reactions. They come at every minute. Even if we chant 16 rounds a day, sometimes we have devotees 64 rounds, still the prarabdha karma from millions of lives pops up. And suffering is there. One devotee, a friend of mine, said, you know, I go for Mangalarti, I study Bhagavatam, I'm a good brahmachari, and chant my 16 rounds attentively, but still suffering is there. How come? We were discussing. Is the prarabdha karma, you know, if you, for example, you go to America, you move, because there is a good governance there. I don't make anyone laugh. It's much better life. You have a good leader, and people, they feel more joy and protected. Because you don't like here. So you take all your furniture with you, but the boat comes. How much furniture you could, how much luggage you can take through the airport? 2 bags, 3 bags, 4 bags maybe. Then if you have a car and if you have a contents, furniture from the house comes every month. So this is the prarabdha karma. If you move into another body, how much karma can you take with you? You travel into another body, only little. Because for millions of life, we've been in this world, and how much karma can you take with you? We generate lives, countless lives of suffering for future lives, so you can only take a little bit with you. But then you become a devotee, you chant Hare Krishna, and then some more karma comes, and we wonder why we're suffering. That's called prarabdha karma from previous lives. This is just to give us a little understanding, the phenomena of karma. But if we surrender to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, Shri Radha Gokulananda, from now on, you take charge. You control my senses. You control my body. You take charge of my karma. Then the Lord will do it. That's why Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. We think as a brahmachari we control our senses, or as a grihastha, and we are successful. And we've done, you know, a day fast on Jamastami. Wow! 24-hour fasting I did, Prabhu. And we are staying, you know, from women, you know, or from men, you know, for many, many years. Wow! I'm a staunch brahmachari, or I'm good sannyasi. But actually, it's not us. It's the Lord, Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. That verse says everything. When you engage in the service of the master of the senses, then he takes charge, he controls you. He's master of all the senses. He takes charge of your senses. He controls your senses. That's the thing that the yogis, the celibate people, the mystics, they're missing. They attribute the credit to themselves. Oh, for 1,000 years I've done this, I've done that. But actually it's the Lord that he takes charge of those, especially of those who surrender to him. The example is there in the 11th canto when the Pandavas, they were indestructible. The 5 Pandavas, they represent the power of Krishna. And as the 5 opulence of Krishna. the five Pandavas with Draupadi. They represent the six. One is Sahadev, the beauty; Bhima, the power; Arjuna, the chivalry; and Yudhisthira, dharma, knowledge. And anyway, each one of them represents an opulence of Krishna. The same Pandavas, when Krishna left after the battle of Kurukshetra, the same Pandavas, they could not protect the queens of Dwarka, all the wives of Krishna. Why? Does anybody know why? You are allowed to make mistakes or to speculate. Yeah. Krishna withdrew the power to make them understand that I am behind, you know, your chariot. I am the one leading your chariot. I am the one. Savai balam balinam chaparisham murtiyam. Forgot the rest. Prahlad Maharaj was asked by Nrisingadev, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad Maharaj, no, he was asked by Hiranyakashipu, please forgive me, because he could not be burned, he could not be pierced, he could not be poisoned, he could not be crushed by the elephants, he cannot be destroyed by over the hail, he could not be killed. And Hiranyakashipu said, you haven't performed all the austerity that I'm doing. Where do you get your power from? Prahlad Maharaj said, Savai balam balinam chaparisham. That thing I studied when I was brahmachari, and it really made me understand that Krishna is behind everything. He said he's from the same power, the same Vishnu that he's been granting you all the boons through Lord Brahma. The same Vishnu. So any power, whether it's a tiny, any beauty, everybody's got something. The soul is phenomenal, it's beautiful. Each one of you has a specific, particular fragrance that Krishna loves it very much. Aham Bija Pradapita. He's the seed-giving father. He created all of us for a purpose. That purpose will be revealed when we become liberated. We may think, oh, we are useless, or people, they call you stupid. If someone calls you stupid, they're actually, that person is foolish. He's making an offense to Krishna. He's calling Krishna stupid, because how can God create something stupid, useless? Does it Krishna create useless things? Yes or no? No. So, but according to the material calculation, if you do something good in this world, then you are celebrated for being intelligent and for being magnanimous, for being, or they give you a Nobel Prize or whatever. They give you a reward. You get rewarded as knighted by the king or whatever. If you do something bad, then you have to suffer the consequence of being defamed. These are the duality of life. But according to Krishna, we are all good. The soul is a Satchitananda Vigraha. And he's different from another soul. And we are all entitled to our own opinion. Even between Krishna and Balaram, they're two different, the same God, but they are two different individuals. One goes to war and the other one goes to pilgrimage. Different opinion. Between Radha and Krishna, different opinion. Radha disagree with Krishna in so many things. between guru and disciple, you can disagree. Because the intelligence that you have, it's a symptom of your individuality. There's a nice purport where Prabhupada says, the proof of the individuality is that everyone has a different opinion. It's to smash, you know, the philosophy of the Mayavadi that says we are all one. So everybody is an individual and everybody has an opinion. And we respect it. That opinion is ingrained, embedded into the soul. Of course, we are one with Krishna in terms of opinion, like Sanjaya, he says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is Arjuna, the master of mystics, there will be victory and glories and fortune. That's my opinion, Sanjaya. That means by saying that, it means he's actually giving you the freedom of exercising your own opinion. You can disagree with him. But of course we agree, isn't that, with Sanjaya. But if someone, Krishna is like that, he has his own opinion. But if we sacrifice our own material opinion and we join with him, we support his opinion, which is perfect, apurusheya, because it's supremely pure, pristine, and democratic, and liberal. When Krishna was celebrated as the greatest brahmachari, Bhishma Dev said they wanted to crown him as the greatest brahmachari on the inauguration of the new city of Hastinapur. Said, let's celebrate the greatest Brahma. He said, no, wait a minute. Bhishma Dev said, that person over there, who's got 16,000 wives, he's the greatest brahmachari. That's my opinion. If you respect my opinion as a brahmachari, then accept the fact that the Supreme Lord, he's never had a sex intercourse. It doesn't happen. There is one purport where Prabhupada says, Krishna doesn't need to, it's like a spiritual incest in one sense. You know, you will never show lust. If you love your children, how can you show lust towards your children? You love them, you protect them from being abused. So Ambija Pradapita, again, he's the seed-giving father. He created all of us. How can he show lust towards us? No, he only shows pure love. Lust is in this world. Lust, anger, greed. And they're all actually a part of the back of Krishna, the Virat Rupa. The ignorance, the lust. When the Lord Brahma creates, if you read the fourth canto, description of King Puranjan, you can understand all these phenomena, where they come from. Not from the spiritual world. Krishna has got nothing to do with all that. Even ignorance, it's, what do you call, there is a say in English, he's not aware of it. When you're not aware of something, the absence. What do you call it? It's there is another word. It's called the conspicuancy absence. I can't remember. You know the word. conspicuous by his absence. Thank you. You are editor of English. That word, if you analyze that word, it means I'm not aware of it. Even though created by Krishna, by an expansion, the Virat Rupa is the material form of the Lord, non-different from the Archavigra, Prabhupada says. At the same time, has got a job, you know, of creating all these phenomena, material environment, lust, anger, greed, desires, everything for us. But it's got nothing to do with Krishna and the spiritual environment. Those phenomena, they are conspicuous by their absence in the spiritual world. There is no envy. Murtimata nasuyave. Every form is blissful and without envy. This is a very important point. In the spiritual world, whatever you see, it has a consciousness, murtimat. It's a form with consciousness and without envy. Anasuyave. So that's Krishna, that's the spiritual world. So for Krishna, there is no loss, like this purport is describing. Of course, he doesn't want to lose us. He's more interested to get... That's why about the material environment, if you have a material possessions, you don't care. It doesn't matter to you. Let the burglar, one of my friends, they had a burglar coming. They stole a lot of gold in his house. But they didn't touch the family. So they didn't mind. This, it happened in Africa somewhere. But he's Indian, Gujarati, I don't want to mention the name. But it could have been worse. The wife and the daughters, they could have been raped. They could have been, you know, because they're ruthless in Africa. And they didn't mind the loss. So Krishna is like that. He doesn't mind when Lord Chaitanya says to Lord Jagannath, even if you lose one universe, master seeds, or a box of master seeds, it's all about material things, yeah. Not spiritual, but he doesn't want to lose one soul. So this friend of mine, he said, you know, as long as my wife, my children, they were okay, we feel that we haven't lost anything. Opulence comes and goes. But it's what is very significant to you that is important. Your family. And we are family to Krishna. He doesn't want to lose us. He's very sad in the spiritual world. Lord Krishna is always enjoying pastimes with God, but there is some sadness there. And occasionally in the Sandarbha is described that he looks down, him and Radharani, they look down towards the material world and see, you know, that our children, some of our children are missing and suffering. And that mood of compassion and, you know, the mood of pity, compassionate, takes shape, becomes a personality, Lord Chaitanya. That's how Lord Chaitanya comes about. He's none other than the essence of compassion and love of Radha and Krishna. He comes down to claim all of us. And all the Acharya and all of us, we follow this phenomena, this beautiful person, compassionate person. So if you do something compassionate, you know, Lord Chaitanya will love you and protect you, and he will always reward you very much. Whether it's Jiva Doya, you know, one of those three things, Vaishnava Seva, you offer service to Vaishnavas, or you chant Hare Krishna. If you do that, he will actually become your servant, Bhakti Vatsala. Or even higher than that is the Jiva Doya, that when you are compassionate towards the fallen souls. When I go out, yesterday I went out, this is my prayer. Mukham karu tibachalam pangalam gayati girim. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you know, we could do something. Even if you give out one book, one message, even if you are out there, I don't give anything to people. You give them a smile on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. They get purified. They see Krishna in your smile. Sometimes, often, isn't it, Guru Shakti, you find people, they don't stop. You smile at them. You try to call them and, well, distributing books. But they see something. They don't take the book because they're not ready. It's not your fault. Sometimes we beat ourselves, oh, this person is a demon, or something wrong with me. No, they're just not ready. They have to go through the process of washing machine. First comes the smile, the darshan of the devotee. That's Sankirtan. When I was a neophyte book distributor, I'm still neophyte, but in the early days I used to say, oh, something wrong with myself. I'm not good enough. Because people, they wouldn't take the book. But actually, Lord Krishna has made me understand that they won't take the book because simply they're not ready. You can't give a big feast to a baby, do you? You can't cook a big feast. You won't please the baby, you know, eat the alava, eat the sweet rice, eat this, eat that. Yesterday I had my family. I was trying to give a little bit of chocolate to my 6-month-old grandson, and my son told me off, said, no, that's too hard, it's got nuts in it, you know. And sometimes we want to please people. You want to give them a book, Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they're not ready. So give them a smile. Like that. Doesn't cost anything, by the way. Even if you're morose or depressed, smile, fake. But then the energy, you know, they see Krishna in that smile, the face of God. Not that they see you, because the devotee, when he carries Krishna in the form of books, in the form of service, is representing the power of Krishna. So the people, they see something different in you. Then next time they see you, they see the smile, and they see the book. And then again, they don't take the book. But they see the book. They have a darshan of the book. Then next time they see the smile, they see you, they see the book, and they touch the book. And again, they don't take it. Then next time, again, they see you, they see the smile, they see the book, they touch the book, they open up and read something. And again, they don't take it. Have you found this phenomena? And then next time, another devotee, see, this is the process of elevation. Krishna is cultivating, he's doing his work, and we don't know. But we try to force people, take the book. No. They're not ready. If they're not ready, don't push them. And then until they take the book and they give a donation. And then you score the goal. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. What time do you stop on Sunday? 8:45? So we have 5 minutes. Any questions or disagreement? Oh, if you have your own opinion, please, I'm interested to. So we have 2 questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Is it working?
Doesn't work? You want this one?
No, that's fine. Just my question had to do with us not being ready and individual not being ready and having a certain amount of prarabdha karma.
Could you repeat again? I couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. My question has to do with prarabdha karma that Krishna.
Prarabdha karma,
yes.
Right.
Krishna makes us go through a token of our prarabdha karma, and it's has to do with us needing to learn our lesson and that we are not yet completely ready. But then in the case of Vasudev Datta's prayer, when he prayed for all the living entities around the world, it may not have been that all those living entities were ready and would have had gone through their lessons through the prarabdha karma that they had. But still, with a snap of a finger, Mahaprabhu was able to free them without them having to suffer. So why is it that Krishna makes us suffer when he can just make us learn our lesson with a snap?
Why Krishna doesn't wipe out everything in one go?
Yeah.
Do you like a lazy program yourself? When you do some cleaning and you don't clean in the corner, you don't clean, around the Vyasasan and just in the middle, you think the Lord will be pleased with that. So He wants you to do the job properly, to clear up, help yourself, let God help you. You know, the sincerity should be, I should be cleaning with devotional service, all my karma, not asking the Lord to clean my mess. You enjoyed for millions of life, and then you say, Krishna, take away all my sins. It's like the bathing of the elephant. See, we have to always understand that Krishna, it's not our servant, it's our master. It's up to him. It's his prerogative. Even the word why doesn't he take away all my suffering? That is presumptuous. Sorry, I'm not trying, to criticize you or put you down, but it's an expectation. You know, it's like I made a big mess for millions of lives, and then I want the Lord in 1 second to counteract all my suffering. Does it sound good? Yes or no? I'm asking you. No. So then, does it make sense what I'm saying?
That's very helpful.
So let's live up to Krishna. You know, I'm yours. If you want me to go through suffering, I will go through. No problem. But in that suffering, there is a lesson. We try to, for the weak devotee, he likes a shortcut. He likes joyful devotional service. But the staunch devotee, he doesn't mind. Prabhupada, he encountered at the age of 70, he didn't say, why did you give me 2 heart attack? Why did you give me diabetes? Why did you remove all these obstacles and let me serve you? Was that the mood of Prabhupada? Was not. So a pure devotee never complains that, this is my prasad, I cooked it, so I have to eat it. You cooked it. Your karma is yours. It's not Krishna's. So asking Krishna to clean up our karma, asking him, it's, of course he will do it anyway, because when he will never give a test heavy enough that we cannot handle and makes us falling down again or losing hope He will never do that. He gives you enough test so that he knows how much you can handle or support. But he will left the bar for you. He will left the bar of the, just like, you know, the loving father is behind, you know, the weight. The son goes in the gym, you know, and he thinks, oh, look at that. I'm lifting all my karma, all this weight. But the father is behind with arms, is making him believing that he's the one lifting the weight, but he doesn't see the father behind him. This is a very good analogy. So while you're doing your service, Krishna is doing his also weightlifting as well, but you don't know. He's doing that. But asking for it, you know, it's if I make a mistake and then I want Krishna to bail me out, it's not a good attitude. We should always say, you know, even in Krishna, I was a Catholic priest, so I can say, you know, the very first pray in the church, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea. You don't say, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault to Jesus on the cross. You say, mea culpa, and you bang, you know, your fist on the chest. Mea culpa. You know what that means? My fault, my fault, my fault. Mea culpa. That's Latin. So when is the Lord sees that, then he's pleased, you know, that you are taking responsibility for your sins. Does it make sense?
That's very helpful. Thank you, Prabhu.
Is there any ladies? Oh, there's one lady here. Let's have one lady. Otherwise, it's not equality.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the class. You touched upon the point of book distribution. I have one question to ask, but it's rather practical. I found out that the easiest way to do book distribution is also to gift. You know, you don't have to convince. You take it. Gift it to
them.
That's
beautiful, yeah. A few people, they take it nicely. Books are sponsored. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, kind of.
But make sure they read it. You see, sometimes I want them to give a donation because I want them to feel when they go away, oh, it cost me an arm and a leg, I must read it.
Yeah.
More they give, the better it is. But if they don't have any money and you give us a gift, it's fine. As long you the contribution should be the faith. As long you let me trust you that you read it.
Yeah, this is slightly different. I mean, when we go to someone's house, birthdays, you're invited, or housewarming, other things, the Durga Puja, this Puja, that feel, rather than going empty-handed, okay, let me take a book, you know, pious Hindu people like us. Then my question is, recently we've on the day of Sharad Purnima, not Sharad Purnima, Bhadra Purnima, we gifted Srimad Bhagavatam to one of the friends whom we thought were deserved but would probably never come out and come up and pay for it and buy it. Is this right?
This is very nice. It's I go out in the street and my main customers are Western people. I cannot do that, what you do. People, if I give something free, then they'll throw it in the bin. But you are in the fire of culture. You know, you go in Indian house, Hindu people, they understand that these books cost money. They understand somebody sponsored the book or you paid for it. And they have a culture of respect, you know, to read it. So that's good. That's fine.
But I can definitely see they've started avoiding me, though.
Sorry?
I can definitely see that they've started avoiding me.
Right. Maybe Vrindavana Chandra Prabhu can comment on that. He's he's a guru in these type of programs. I want to give him a chance to say something.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all good. I remember I was reading an exchange between Burijan Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And Burijan Prabhu was saying, oh, your book distributors, they're cheating the people. One person said, this book will help you save the energy crisis. And he said, you know, this is not good. And Prabhupada replied, we are not mundane moralists. You know, the person by taking the book, even if he doesn't read it, if it's just in his house, he will be benefited. And maybe one day he will read it. So the same way this family that have taken the Bhagavatam, but they can't appreciate it. You know, in the Skanda Purana it said, just by having the Bhagavatam in their house, all of the demigods are looking upon that house with benediction, you know, and they'll be purified, and you just never know. You know, you were talking about, Prabhu, about Bhakti Choru Maharaj. There was once a disciple in South Africa. He went to Maharaj and he said, Maharaj, they're not giving me any service in the temple. Then Maharaj told him, you just walk up and down in the local shopping center. And people, when they see you, and they think he looks so nice, get Gyata Sukriti, and from that they will eventually come to the devotional service. So in the same way the Bhagavatam, they will develop undoubtedly some Gyata Sukriti, and from there they'll come to devotional service.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Does that make sense? Thank you very much. I think it's getting late and I don't want to get a hold of you. Okay, there is one last, I don't want to Gazambio, please.
Thank you very much.
9 o'clock, okay. So I'm not in fault here.
You mentioned that Krishna is self-fulfilling and he doesn't really care if one mustard seed is gone or all the mustard seeds are gone. So, but then you also said that Radha and Krishna, they feel so sad and compassionate towards all our suffering, and that in the form of Chaitanya they came here to give us that love and compassion. So how does that make sense together? On the one side he doesn't care, on the other side he's sad. And
okay, so it's a good question. As I said at the end of the class, and as it says on the purport, Lord Chaitanya is talking, the master seeds are not the souls, not the jiva, material universes. And I gave the example of the burglars. If they steal gold, but they don't hurt your family, then there is no loss. Material things, if you Krishna lose something, he can generate it again. He's talking about, if you read properly, that it's about material environment. Master seeds is material universes. That doesn't mean, you know, the jiva. There is a cosmic manifestation, then there is a jiva. These are three different phenomena. And then there is the creator, Lord Krishna. And devotional service, number four, the four items. The master seeds is it here in this context. It's material assets. Krishna doesn't care about losing material things. He's still beautiful. He's still opulent. There is no loss in his, you know, if he loses any universe, he can create. As I said in the beginning of the class, 1 minus 1 could equal 100 to Krishna. But for us, if you lose something, it's gone. Money, it's gone. But for Krishna, it's not. It's not like that, because he can create. That's what Prabhupada says, you know, if you can create something in the laboratory, life, then, you know, I can worship you as a god. Then you are God, if you can create a life, jiva. But they, Prabhupada says in the Life Come From Life, it's a book, you know, you can't even create a blade of grass. If you get all the scientists in the world in one laboratory and said, I give you billions and trillions of dollars and pounds, if you can create from nothing one blade of grass, you think they could do it? Why not? Because they're no magician, they're no God. And you see, you know, on Facebook and all these magicians, they can create things. This is all magic. There's a trick behind it. They're not God. They're fooling people. You cannot create something from nothing. Only God can do that. Yeah? So the master seeds is the universe, not the soul. Two separate things. So there is no contradiction there. You have some comment, Prabhu? You agree? He's a smart man. He's my tax advisor.
Thanks, Prabhu, for very helpful class. And you mentioned that it's a mystical. What we give, it goes with us. And that's really helpful. What we give, it goes with us.
Yes.
So that's very helpful.
Yes. It's not what we have that goes with us, but what we give.
Thanks for that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So we'll adjourn the class here, yeah? Is that okay? Thank you very much. It's 9:00. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.